Well, I'm going to try this again. It's been a little touch and go here. That I'll only get about 5 minutes of recording, and then all of a sudden it'll just stop. Fun and excitement. This is Jason Nevro. You're listening to Cohen Lone Wolf Saint. I get up early in the mornings. Like today I was probably up around 3, but I kind of futzed around for about half an hour. I'm not saying I just hop up, woo, and off we're going. You know, I do sleep in a boat, which for my purposes is a hard-shelled pup tent. It's getting a little colder at night. And so that kind of makes me want to just lay there for a bit. I don't know why, it just does. Until I get this compelling reason to go and relieve myself, which is something I have to get out of the boat to do. And the colder it gets, the more tricky that becomes for just sitting there shivering, trying to relieve yourself. Anyway, let's not get into that too much. So this morning, I was looking at a little article. Very little passes for news anymore. I tend to look at, I don't know what it's called, the Google, whatever it is. Whatever comes off of my phone. It's supposed to be keeping me, you know, bringing me the kind of content I want to see. It's interesting that I used to get news, so I would kind of know what was going on. I'm eating an egg. And I'll turn this off here. Okay. And, sorry. And I didn't hear about the Hamas attacks on Israel until I heard it at church obliquely. And it was like, wow, I should probably look this up. And I did ultimately. So I'm not totally uninformed. But I found it interesting that my phone seemed to think I would be far more interested in who knows what, how expensive housing is becoming, than I am about what could be become the major conflict of our times. Oh, regardless, I got this article from Psychology Today, and it had to do about not letting your kids walk all over you. This is a guy. It's almost tricky to talk about. Our culture has become, well, our anti-culture. I've always had the thought that America really doesn't have a culture, and in so doing, doesn't provide people any real social infrastructure. Whatever becomes kind of cool and trendy ends up being our structure. That's how, like transgenderism, for instance, went from being this bizarre, almost kink, and in the span of 5 years is now the holy grail. If you want to be the most respected and lionized victim on Earth. Just say you want to be a different gender than what you were born as. Woo! And you'll get all the praise and attention that you ever desired. Maybe even a little bit more. Anyway, speaks to the whole thing of America doesn't have a culture. We say it does, and then when we describe it, you're just describing the latest social fad. And the fact that 5 years later on, you will have something completely different. You know, the LGBTQ community, although still very much, you know, touted as the ultimate victimology, is already starting to become boring and blasé. You know, to say that you're gay is almost to say that you've got a hangnail for all the regard anybody really has for it. And so, you know, probably the closest thing we could have to a culture, which is the wholesale rejection of the past, is, well, it's the only culture that America seems to have is a wholesale rejection of the past. And the quicker you do it, the better for you. You know, you can even look at our current president, Joe Biden. What he fought for and what he talked about 15, 20 years ago is completely opposite from what he says now. And he just acts like he never said what he said 20 years ago. It was never uttered. I've always been this. And you're going, no, he hasn't. He wasn't like that 15 years ago. 15 years ago, he was completely different. He had a completely different stance on almost everything. And now, you know, I don't know if this is advice he's gotten. I don't know if it's a decision that he just made. I'm sure it's a great desire to be more appealing to young people. And of course, the first thing you need to do to appeal the best to young people is tell them that their parents and their grandparents were wrong, that they're right, that they're better than their parents ever were, and that they can make great demands on parents and grandparents. And if they don't get what they want, they can chastise their parents and make them feel horrible for not basically just, you know, giving their kids whatever their kids want. And that was what this Psychology Today article was basically referencing. Although it did it in, well, you know, I guess it's just me personally. I think they did it in a really milquetoasty way. It was really supposed to be for parents because, you know, parents shouldn't give in to their child's demands. And they gave an example, which I found hilarious. Apparently, this kid or this young person, pardon me, we have to respect them, you know, make sure to get down on your knees and kiss their butt before you try to tell them anything, because unless you do that, they're just going to treat you like garbage. It's true. Wanted to get involved in this investment. He needed $2,500 to invest in this music band. And the parent wanted to know, well, you know, what's up? What kind of due diligence have you done to make sure this is a good investment? And the kid comes back and says, well, you don't trust me. You don't think I know anything. And it's like, whoa, you're wanting me to loan, not just loan you, give you, gift you money to do something. And you're spitting in my face and telling me I'm disrespectful to you. It's like, excuse me, it's my money. God. Anyway, it's very, I found the whole thing very interesting. I found that to be a most intriguing example because there was plenty of backpedaling in this article, you know, to say that you really needed to respect your child and their attitudes and their feelings, or else you're going to lose them. And I'll be really honest, from personal experience, I've got a child or two who can behave like this. One of my children invited the family to to come to where she is for Thanksgiving. First of all, it's like, did you give us any thought? Do you know how expensive it is for, let's see, we have a family of eight. You know how expensive it is for seven people to make a trip to a remote place as opposed to one child assembling with the others who are all, almost all, there's a few of them that are gone, who are in our region. You know how much cheaper it is to bring you here as opposed to bring everybody else to you? And of course, I'm sure, you know, Susan, it's not, just didn't think about it, I'm sure. You know, one of the, see, I'm waffling too. Most of the up-and-coming generation don't think along these lines. I don't know if they thought that it was my responsibility to pay several thousand dollars to make this happen for this child's convenience. I don't know, but it's like, wow, could have given that some thought. But I know that if I would have said something, okay, well, let's, if I would have said something, it would have been viewed as a slight on this child that required a nasty retort. To begin with, even when the invitation was made, it was said that even I would be, it would be okay if I came if I behaved myself. And it's like, wow, a child telling their parent if they can come around because so with the stipulation that they behave themselves. It's like, why would I ever want to come with that kind of stuff on me? Why would I kowtow to that kind of obnoxiousness? Excuse me. Who died and made you God? Who died and made you the parent? It's very interesting. Not that this child hasn't always somewhat behaved like this. And of course, always kind of the attitude that the money that I had earned, they could just ask for, and if I didn't immediately shell out the money, I was the bad person. And it's like, I didn't choose to get into debt. I didn't choose to do this and do that. I worked my way up. I have responsibilities. I have, and it's not even all that. It's like, who are you to say that you have any call on any of my money whatsoever? Especially when you talk about me this way. as if you think that will help your cause, which the only cause I can think of out of all of these things is the cause of wanting to have more money than what you got. And it's like, well, then put forth the effort required to get more money. That's easy. That's what we all do. That's at least that's what previous generations have done. And this Psychology Today article, and I think I'll probably put the link to the article in the podcast notes so that you can have it. It really is an emblematic thing when people say, do kids really behave like that? And you go, well, I said, I can only tell you that I've had experience with my own children, or at least one of my children, behaving like this. And just, I mean, it just makes your jaw drop. Just saying the audacity of this person. And if this person was still treating me like I was somebody that needed to at least be, you know, respected. Nope, none of that. I'm a horrible person. And apparently, I don't know. I don't know what the way back is. I'm not coming back. You know, people, I know people at church talk about, they use the example of the prodigal son and say, oh, you need to go out. If they give the least opening for you to have a relationship with them, you know, you need to grab it and get down your hands and knees and apologize for parenting them, and their inheritance not being big enough to suit them or something, you know. And it's like, that's not what the parable of, that's not my perception of what the parable of the prodigal son is trying to say. I don't read it that way. When he was coming and, you know, obviously in pretty peaked shape, poor guy, you feel for him. His father could have mushed it in his face and said, this is what you get, or, you know, la, la, la. But he didn't. And he says, and I wouldn't have any intention of doing it either, but my child hasn't come to me in that way. You know, this is, when it comes to this child, I typically get a good spit in the face for how terrible I am, how horrible of a father I was, and how disrespectful I was to her, sorry, to this child, pardon me. They've decided to go transgender, and it's very important that you must hate your parents in transgenderism unless they ejaculate their love and reverence for you in front of them, which I'm not going to do. You know, I'm sorry, transgenderism tore my family to shreds. And so, no. Am I a fan of transgenderism? No. Am I respectful of it? Oh, hell no. An ideology that I can see has two purposes. Number one, to enrich the most deplorable, ooh, am I using that word? I don't know if I should. The most deplorable section of the, quote, healthcare industry, to make it so that they're well paid and are able to do basically plastic surgery on, you know, a whole new group of people that don't really need plastic surgery, but they've found this wonderful new way to profit off of it. There's those people, and then there is just just, I'm sorry, I'll say it, just wholesale narcissism. And I mean, just, it's jaw-dropping to see it when it happens. It's like, wow. Never seen so much someone who thought so much of themselves and so little of anybody else. The earth spins for them. And you should be grateful that you get to enjoy the earth spinning as well. Anyway, oh, wow. So, yeah, it was really interesting and nice because Psychology Today has often been so much a venue for, oh, you need to be really, really nice to these people. You know, they are really quite delicate. They're delicate little flowers. And the most important thing is to be nice to them. I've always told my wonderful wife, Lisa, that we need to try to keep the lines of communication open with all of our children, which was hard for Lisa because she, if anything, is much more strident about being respectful to your elders than I ever was. And I'm not bad, but anyway, it was just really interesting to come up with this and go, think about the cultural implications. This is so amazing. I'm still eating my egg. An egg. 4 hard-boiled eggs. Going to be mostly my caloric intake for several hours. Boy, I'm kind of confused about the traffic situation here. I'm trying to get ahead of all this. Oh. The fact that 20 and 30-year-old people can just treat the people who raised them, the people who fed them and clothed them for all those years, barely done doing it, too. And you go, hey, I'm 30. And you go, yeah, that means that if I fed you and clothed you up until the point where you were 18, I've fed and clothed you longer than you've been trying to do it yourself. And of course, the whole interesting thing of many, many adult children are relying in a strange sort of aggressive, nasty way, they're still relying on their parents for a lot of their things. Now, my children, no, they've been doing a really good job of trying to be on their own. I don't know how they feel about it, if they feel somewhat gypped in that they see people around them that their parents still provide the vast majority of their support, and they can still take the time and effort to make their parents feel terrible about not doing more. And you could always question, so was it something in our raising that made them this way? And you go, well, it might be. But I don't see my own parents or my grandparents being these amazing paragons of better parenting, particularly. I'm not saying that they did a bad job. I'm just saying that they didn't. They weren't, you know, the amazing, fantastic parental units that, for instance, me and my wife seemed incapable of being. So when they say, well, it was because of bad parenting, which feeds right into the kids going, well, then I get to treat you like garbage because you were a bad parent. You're going, we all had bad parents. Everybody had bad parents. This whole myth of having good parents, I think, is garbage. I don't think he ever had good parents. We could try to make it sound better and say, oh, well, you know, they struggled more. And it's like, yeah. Oh, no. I'm not going to deny the fact that parenting has always been a struggle. And it's probably been more of a struggle in the past than it is now. But did they have some wonderful grand key that we have forgotten? And you go, maybe, but probably not. Probably not. I don't, you know, did the kids change? And you go, maybe. And that's why, you know, you really shouldn't listen too much to societal wrangling about this particularly. If anything, society has had a poor influence on this, and that's most likely because if you go back and you look and you try to identify what's really changed, can I be honest, what really changed? Society changed. And and that's probably the most present culprit of why people are choosing to behave this way. You know, you can say, well, dad didn't respect me. And you go, when have fathers ever respected their children particularly? I mean, I guess you can say, well, you know, on this old TV show, and you go, that's scripted garbage. That's what? That's not reality at all. Television sitcoms and television drama are scripted mostly by young people. and there was no understanding or any thought beyond filling a half an hour or an hour worth of troubles that are typically resolved within that hour. You know, it's like, oh, we have a horrible problem. You know, one of my kids has a drug problem. It gets resolved in an hour. And not very realistically either. You know, so you can't appeal to those things. Oh, I wish my dad was more like Father Knows Best or something like that. I'm sure they felt very unhappy in the fact that we really didn't have a lot of television in our house. We used to watch movies a whole lot more. We had lots of DVDs. And so my children were bereft of pre-digested parental models of what parents were supposed to be. And of course, these were all the times that even if you did get a sense for these things, it was always parents were kind of dingy, kind of dumb. Dad was especially dingy and dumb. And that just got drilled into their heads that you shouldn't listen to your parents. Your parents are, you know, your parents are easily tricked. Smart, mature children are expert at getting their way, having all of anything that they want to do financed at no expense to them. And of course, the whole thing of, you know, you're 16, you should have a car, you should have this, you should have that. And there were circumstances when I was trying to do this, but, you know, it didn't work. I can't say that I wasn't influenced by this. Am I coming out trying to say that I'm the perfect parent? I don't think I have yet. And I don't think I will. Because I wasn't. But that's not the criteria. God doesn't say, and thou shalt be the perfect parent. In fact, as far as I know from Holy Writ, it hardly gets into parenting style at all, except for a few, I don't even know, what do you call them, warnings? I think it's worse than that. That if you don't teach your kids the right way to go, you'll be held responsible for that. And it said, let me tell you, it says, if there's anything my children are angsty about in relation to Lisa and I's parenting style, I guess I should just talk about mine. It would be that we were very poignant about shoving our attitudes and our religion down their throats. This is, so I don't think God's going to get on to me about not meeting my responsibility to make sure that my children knew what God wanted them to know, or what my take on what God wanted them to know. At least one of my children has accused me of abuse, and it's like, wow. And it's interesting in that it's like, can I be honest? I said, as far as I'm aware of, if there was any accusation to be made about me in relation to how I treated my kids, it would probably come from the side of neglect, that I was neglectful of them, especially with some of the things that they sometimes say. We're going on a really slow line to the gate. It's very slow today, which is really weird. It's almost 5:30 now. Under normal circumstances, I'd already be in my office by now, but I'm not. So here we go, 5:30. I know abuse carries a lot more weight. The charge of abuse carries more weight than neglect. And so for somebody who really wants to get their digs in, you know, I don't know what the end game is. Do they just want me to just fork over a lot more money? Do they want me to swell heads up even bigger by telling them how amazingly fantastic they are compared to me or whatever? And you go, I'm not going to offer you that. No matter what psychology may end up saying, or therapy. Anyway, so it was just really interesting to read this article, which seems to be such at odds but carefully at odds. You know, don't rock that boat too hard. It was mostly the parents saying, you don't have to give in to every request of your adult children. You don't have to give them everything that they want. And of course they said, boy, but you better be careful. You better be careful. Because if you don't say it in the right way and totally give them all the strokes that they're wanting, tell them how wonderful they are, and you go, probably about par for the course. It says, but, you know, praise them when they're doing good things. Don't be shy about saying, I don't know if you should do that or not. I mean, it's your life. You're an adult child. Well, you're an adult. You don't have to put the child on it. You're an adult now. It says, you can make those decisions. It says, now, it says, we can help you, mostly with advice. It says, not with money particularly. Well, you've got a lot of money. And you go, no, you don't know that I've got a lot of money. I may have a lot of money. But that's none of your business. It has nothing to do with you. That's between me and my wife, is how much money we have and how we spend that money and what we want to do with it. That's us. It says it has nothing to do with you. I don't know why you would feel like this is, I think this is partially what also comes of having kind of the democratic family, which people started coming up with, which I don't believe in. I don't think I ever really did. I don't even know if I paid much lip service to it. I think almost to a fault, I would say, no, this is not a democracy. Of course, that just gave them incentives to want to get out, because this place wasn't a nice place for them. And you're going, it's not designed to be a nice place for you. This is, you are supposed to take on adult responsibilities and roles, and you're supposed to go out there and make your own way. Do the things you'd like, how you'd like to do them. Oh, this is interesting. Okay. I'm going to be nice to everybody today. Oh, this guy's going to back up a little bit? Try to let him go through? Okay. That's all right. That's a good thing, I guess. Anyway, well, the most important thing is don't hit me. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be able to. Oh, guy, and this guy's got his headlights on, blinding us. Anyway, you know, and it isn't that parents can't choose to offer help, but they're not required to. And I know everybody's saying, well, things are harder now. Things are more difficult. And you go, well, number one, I wonder why. Number two, yeah, this is, why do you think your place is especially unique that way? And you go, I know all of the news stories talk ad nauseum about, I don't know, are we going to be able to go through this way? Oops, hey. Well, they'll start honking at me. What? I'm not. I don't think much of people. Yeah, I'm going to get in here. Thank you. Thank you. I was ahead of you. So, yeah. And you're going, I know it's quite fashionable to say how horrible everything is and how it's been more horrible than it's ever been in the past. And to some degree, maybe that's so. And maybe I was just born a blessed time and I just got really lucky. Good morning. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, guy. Anyway. Oops. Dang it. Okay, so I'm sorry. I probably need to stop because it's, I don't have a lot more to say. This is, you know, instead of blaming other people, and this is, I guess, one of the things that really came out of the article was, before you blame your parents, society, cultural expectations, stuff like that, for all of adult children's problems, that they should do their best to try and make good things happen for them, and not be so demanding of especially parents. You know, I said, I'm always quite happy. I'm quite impressed with my children, the skill sets they have, the desires that they have. And what they have accomplished so far in life. I'm very impressed. The kind of creativity that has been used to try to take care of their needs, housing and transportation, things like that. Very impressive. Very much in the lines of, These are people who can think on their feet and have found good places to be. Haven't resorted to criminality, as far as I'm aware of, and I hope they haven't. Haven't tried to drown their sorrows in various chemicals and such. It says I'm quite happy. Some of them have either wandered away or away from my wife and I's faith, and that's a little disconcerting because we went through an awful lot to make sure that we had a useful and pragmatic faith, one that would help them rise, as opposed to just placating them, perhaps. And that it was just so easily shoved away and for nothing. It's like, so what is your substitute for faith? And they nothing. And you go, well, that's going to really see you through in the hard times. Yeah, that's great. Nothing. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, this is, boy, yeah, I probably needed to stop about half an hour ago, but now I'm going to stop now. This is Jason Nemro. You've been listening to, I'm still working on the name, Cohen Lone Wolf Saint. Have a wonderful day.